Well, Inauguration Day is less than a month away, and this one will be different by necessity because of the pandemic. Of course, there's also the specter of President Trump not conceding. He challenged the election again today in tweets with baseless claims of ballots being thrown out. CNN's Barbara Starr reports growing anxiety in the Pentagon. Will President Trump order military action somewhere or draw the military into his campaign to reverse the election results? But there will likely be an inauguration of Joe Biden in January. It will be different. And Julian Zelizer says it's time. He's professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. And Julian, you know, first your thoughts on what we're hearing about a president who won't accept the results of an election he lost. Ever happened before?
No. I mean, there were rumors that Richard Nixon in the final days of the Watergate scandal was going to do something dramatic to stay in office. But presidents who have been defeated have left. And this would be another new moment for Trump if this actually came to pass.
Well, we're assuming the traditional transfer of power will happen on January 20th, and it will be different because of the pandemic. And you argue in a recent opinion piece for CNN that it's time, as I said, for change, and it gives the planning committees an opportunity because inaugurations were never written in stone anyway. So tell us more about what you would like to see with change.
Yeah, obviously for the Biden inauguration, it's going to be important because of public health. And also even symbolically, this is a president who has committed to doing things differently. The DNC this summer offered a model. I think doing more stuff virtually allowed a greater number of voices to be part of the event, such as the roll call, when we saw delegates all over the country and in their local communities, even to performances that are done by different groups who represent the diversity and pluralism of this country. I think there's just a wonderful opportunity in an event that has changed over time to make this in some ways more inclusive, less about fundraising, and more innovative in how we bring people in.
Well, let's talk about how it's changed over time. Calvin Coolidge's 1925 inauguration was the first broadcast on radio. President Truman's in 1949, the first to be televised. Let's see a little clip.
Mr. Chief Justice, fellow citizens, I accept with humility the honor which the American people have conferred upon me.
And so, Julian, you're saying maybe, you know, go further this time around. Maybe all be televised or all be online because of how successful the Democratic National Convention was in doing that. And you talk about doing as they did, hopscotch across the country, have people in groups in different places. But isn't there something lost if you're not out there on the mall freezing your butt off normally? You know, even if you're a mile back, you're there, you know, when, let's say, the first Black American becomes president of the United States. Isn't there something to that moment?
Of course. You don't have to throw out all the great elements of the ceremony with newer innovations. I think both can be part of it. Obviously, there won't be much of a choice this time. There is something to being there in person, but I do think we can greatly broaden what the event is. And we need to remember, even the location has changed over time. There's been many that have not taken place with the grand formality that we're talking about. In 1985, Reagan had to basically cancel much of the ceremony because it was going to be freezing, and he was scared that people were going to get frostbite if they were standing outside. So he did the oath inside. And just in front of a small crowd, there was a celebration later. So this doesn't have to be the same.
Right. And some people may think, you know, they've always gotten out of their car, you know, and the procession and walk. No, that's not true. Just remind us, Jimmy Carter, 1977, one of the most dramatic moments.
That was a great moment in the aftermath of Watergate and Vietnam with so many people just frustrated with the presidency. He decided during the parade to just get out of the car with his wife and their daughter, Amy, and they just walked. And at the moment, that was a dramatic thing to do. People in the crowd couldn't believe that the president got out of the limo. And symbolically, it was really important. Carter was thinking of all the anger that existed in this country, and he wanted to show it would be a different kind of presidency, less pomp and more about the people. And that became a great event.
Yeah. Well, his Secret Service agents were pretty shocked, too, when he said, stop the limousine. You know, we always had to worry about security, but that was, you know, quite a moment. And you, Julian Zelizer, are saying, you know, why not think of what the new moments could be as we go ahead. Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.